Introducing Tools for Living Your Fullest Life. This is Life's Toolbox with Kenny Brixey on Empower Radio. Now, here's your host, Kenny Brixey.
Welcome to Life's Toolbox, where each week we introduce tools that will assist you in discovering and embracing your own incredible truth, value, and worth. These tools are designed to empower your journey to living a more mindful and purposeful life, and when applied to your life experiences, they will guide you to live as the beautiful and perfect and authentic essence that is you. Thank you so much for being here today. You may have noticed that the last few weeks have been replays of previous shows. I've been in a position where the tool for today has made a powerful stand in my life, and I'll share a little bit more of that with you as we go along in the show, and I'll share, you know, what I learned about this tool. For now, though, I'm just so glad to be back, and I'm ready to get started with something new. So let's get going. Our tool today is actually a question. When asked and mindfully considered, this question becomes a powerful tool that can be used to assist in every situation and experience that you face in your life experience. It can be used to assist in every situation that you find yourself in on this earth, and it can assist you in helping you cope with every situation that arises on this earth. You know, actually, you're already asking this question of yourself multiple times a day. You just may not be aware of it, and your answers are affecting how you experience and respond to your life. That's right. How crazy is that? We're asking and answering a question that influences every action, every decision, every relationship, every belief, everything in our lives, and we may not even be aware that we're doing it. Wouldn't you like to know what that question is and how to answer it in such a way that it actually serves your highest good? Well, I'll tell you in a minute what it is. Each time we ask ourselves this question, we have an opportunity to move into the present moment and practice mindfulness to get to our truth. What normally happens, though, is that many of us are not even aware that we're asking the question, which means we are not consciously answering the question, which means we are at the mercy of our current circumstances and life situations to determine how we experience our day, our week, our month, our entire lives. Many of us who may actually have an inkling that we're asking this question of ourselves don't always get mindful and present and consider their answer. They just answer based on what's happening in their life. We are allowing illusions in our life to appear to be real, and then we formulate our answers to this question from that. In other words, we allow our ego to speak and influence our answers. It can even be said that we are walking around like victims. But as you know, if you listen to this show very often, there are no victims, only volunteers. In case you haven't heard us talk about that before, let me explain. It means that while we may not volunteer for bad things to happen to us, we do have a choice in how we perceive those things, how we react to those things, how we allow those things to affect our lives. So having said that, if you are having a difficult time in your life experience, it may not be that life is unfair so much as that you are not consciously answering this question that we're addressing today, or possibly that you are answering it from a place of illusion, false beliefs, self-judgment. So let's get to it. The question that I'm asking today, the question I'm talking about today, the question that we ask each other multiple times each day is this: who am I? Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? When we actually remove all of the human conditioning that has been heaped upon us since before we were born, the answer to that question is pretty simple. The conditioning is the things that we tell ourselves about who we are supposed to be. It's when we allow what we do for a living to define who we are. When we remove all of the ego-driven illusions and strip away all the conditional thinking that we've learned, our answer to this question really does become quite clear. When we see truth instead of the distorted version of us that is seen through the emotional baggage that we carry inside of us all, we can really know and understand and believe the truth of who we really are. Now, let me tell you who you really are. You are absolutely amazing. You are beautiful. You are strong. You are brilliant. And you can fill in more blanks there with any empowering trait that you can imagine. You're all of that. Now, if I were to make that statement about you being absolutely amazing and beautiful and strong and brilliant and loving and peaceful and all those other amazing things that you really are, if I were to make that statement and you honestly believed it without a doubt, that would be the end of the show. We'd be done. However, I know that until you believe it for yourself, my description of you or anybody else's description of you will hold no value in your life. It only holds value in mine because I do truly know that about each person I deal with. I do see their truth. So my job here on this show and then all the other work that I do is to help you discover for yourself your very own truth. And when you do finally see it and embrace it, you will understand exactly what I mean when I say that you're awesome and all those other things. That's what this question is all about. That's what asking yourself, who am I, is all about. To some extent or another, each of us have asked this many different times, many different ways, every single day. Those of us on a personal growth or spiritual growth path might be a little more conscious of this question popping up in our lives, but everyone asks it. In fact, you have probably asked it, like I said before, several times already today. Every decision we make is based on our answers to this question. Every belief we have about ourselves, about life, about the world, about anything at all, is based on our answers to this question. Our moods and our emotions are even reliant on our answers to this question. The statuses of our relationships are dependent on our answers to this question. Our environment is even reliant on our answers to this question. We can even go so far as to say that the world around us is reliant upon our answers to this question. It's pretty powerful. Since everything we experience is based on our perception, what we think about ourselves determines every experience, belief, situation that we have. Who would have thought that such a simple little question could carry so much importance and value and influence? Who am I? Now, we ask this question each time something changes in our lives. Anytime we have an emotional shift, we ask it. Anytime we discover something new about ourselves, good, bad, or indifferent, we ask the question about ourselves. We ask it each time something changes in our world. When we receive a new challenge or even a new opportunity that causes us to look beyond our normal way of being, we ask, who am I? This question is not reserved just for the bad times. It happens all the time. Every time we ask ourselves if we can handle a difficult or challenging situation, even if it is a very empowering situation in our lives, we still ask, who am I? Every time something invites us to respond or react, we ask this question of ourselves. The past few weeks have given us many opportunities to inquire of ourselves who we are. You know, the hurricanes that we saw in Texas with the massive flooding in Florida and down through the Caribbean with all of the devastation. The wildfires out west, the mass shooting in Las Vegas this past week, they all cause us to ask, who am I? You may not think that. But when you see something like this happen, you ask yourself, who am I? Sometimes it's, who am I that I can help? Or who am I that I witness this and feel the things that I do? Or who am I? It can go on and on and on. Who am I is the prevalent question that we ask all the time. I know I ask this of myself in a big way over the past couple of weeks. Hurricane Harvey affected several friends, as it came on shore down in Houston. Hurricane Irma threatened family. And many friends down in Florida. Fortunately, I can say that all of my family and all of my friends are now well. The damage that they received from the storms was much less than it could have been. I can tell you that the mass shootings, the ones in Vegas last week, even though all of my friends in Vegas are safe, that shooting and other ones, you know, that we've witnessed, they touch me as though I know the victims. I can tell you, I didn't know any of these victims, but I feel like I did. I'm sure I'm not the only one. Along with that, I've been offering support to my granddaughter, who has been having a very difficult time lately with some issues that that have gotten to a legal point of view. So all of these things come together and they cause us to ask, who am I? In these situations, when I do ask that question, and if I allow my ego or my humanness to answer, I usually discount anything I could do as not good enough. Let's use the hurricanes, for instance. When my ego becomes the voice of knowledge, it is easy to see only limits of what I can do. Now, on the other hand, if I allow my essence to answer, I can find many ways that I can step in and help. You know, I can see how what I have to offer, my essence, my compassion, my creativity, my resilience, all of that I have, all that I have within me, all of those beautiful traits that I have within me, they can serve greatest good in some shape, form, or fashion. The illusions of limits that I see when I look at this and when I answer this question from ego, when I ask who am I and my ego steps in, I see only the illusion of limits, and those serve no one. They do not serve me, they do not serve the victims, and they certainly do not serve the situation. When we come at this this question from ego, we see how others are responding to the tragedies and immediately fall into comparative reasoning. You know, I saw pictures of somebody carrying people through the rising waters, you know, rescuing them and taking them to safety. We see the hundreds of people with boats lined up, hoping that they can get in, put their boats in the water and assist in the rescue efforts down in the flooding in Houston. We saw people lifting others and running out of the way in the Vegas shootings. We've all seen the videos of that. We saw people just stop what they're doing, put themselves in harm's way to assist someone who had been shot. When I look at all of this from ego, when any of us look at all this from ego, our temptation is to ask, could I really do that? Our temptation is to say, oh, well, I wasn't there, so there's nothing I can do. You see, ego is going to put limits on it. Ego is going to stop you from stepping out, into your greater good. You know, if we actually would have been at that concert in Vegas, would we have saved somebody or would we just run for our lives? It depends on how you answered the question. You would have asked your question, as soon as you would have realized what was going on, you would have asked, who am I? It might have come in different words, but that's basically what you're asking. If you would answer from ego, you would have run. You would have just put your own life out of harm's way, and you would have cared very little about what was going on around you. If you would have answered from essence, you would have realized that anything you could do, even if it was just to help someone get to their feet, would have been a beautiful thing. We allow our proximity to situations to dictate whether we do something or not. And again, that's based on ego. Or essence. If we come at it from ego and we're 1,000 miles away from the situation, we can say, I'm not there. I wasn't there. There's nothing I can do to help. The money that I could give is not going to be enough to make a difference, so why bother? If we look at it from essence, that 1,000 miles away could be, that's just one step that I need to make. And then once I take that step, I can be there. I can help. I can offer assistance. Or I can start a chain here that's collecting money or food or clothing or whatever is needed in the situation. When ego is involved, the proximity becomes an excuse. When essence is speaking for you, there are no lines and no limits to the question, who am I? Whether we are answering from ego or essence will determine how we respond to every situation in our lives. When we come from essence, we find ways to address and respond to all situations. When we come from ego, we find ways to avoid, ignore, make excuses, and sometimes react to those situations, and usually that reaction is not from a loving place. You can see that it goes far beyond the mental state. It begins there, but our answer to who am I determines our beliefs about us, and those beliefs are reflected in the actions that we take. It is not just in times of tragedy either. It's not just in times of emotionally charged situations. It can be in any other situation too. It is just that the emotionally charged situations cause our response to be more noticeable. I know that sometimes we feel as if we are not asking the question at all. It kind of feels like we're just going through life. We're not doing anything. That is what I call the non-consciousness of life, if you will. We learned it well, didn't we? When you feel that you are not asking yourself this question, it is simply that you are not mindful of it in that moment. It is easy in times of tragedy to go a bit numb consciously, and because being fully aware and present seems to be painful, uncomfortable, and sometimes it really is. But that doesn't mean we are not continually asking ourselves the question, who am I? The thing is, folks, that we ask and answer this question repeatedly throughout our lives. Our answers are determined by our self-beliefs at the time. So imagine this. Imagine how your answers will be if you're having a bad day, you're beating yourself up, you're feeling inadequate, you're feeling worthless. Imagine how your day's going to be. Imagine how your so-called reality is going to be. Now, let go of that for a minute. Just erase that. I hate to say it, but for some of us, that those feelings kind of feel pretty normal. But erase that. Now, imagine, how will you answer the question, who am I, if you're feeling worthy and strong and happy, capable? So wouldn't it be helpful to be aware of how you are answering, and wouldn't it be amazing to answer from truth every time? Let me just reiterate here. If you're answering from ego, that darkness, those negative feelings, if you're answering there from that place, you are answering with illusions, period. There is no truth to that darkness. If you're answering from that place of worthiness, strength, happiness, capability, love, peace, if you're answering from there, that's your truth. That's your truth. The ego tries to cover that up. Sometimes it's it's done to try to protect us. Sometimes it's done to try to steer us away from a situation that we might get hurt. But our truth is that we're happy, we're strong, we're capable, we're worthy. Who am I is a question worth asking. And more importantly than asking it, we're going to ask it automatically, but more importantly than that, it is a question that deserves an answer that's based on truth. This could possibly be the most important question you will ever ask of yourself, and it is certainly way more important than any question you could ever ask someone else. I said this could possibly be the most important question you ask yourself. I want to take that back. This is the most important question that you ever ask yourself. Ask it. Ask it constantly, but be present when you ask it. Be mindful when you ask it. We must be sure that our answers are coming from that place of truth and authenticity, though. So ask the question. Discover your truth. So let's recap before we move on any further. Our answers to this very important question sometimes vary, and they're influenced by the happenings in the world around us. That's when we're coming from ego. We often allow the situations we face to determine who we are in that moment. That's ego. Sometimes situations call for us to be angry. That's ego. If we're having an angry situation or having a difficult time of things, that's ego. If we're coming from ego, our entire life experience is influenced towards darkness or negativity or fear. All of those things, really. If we are having a wonderful experience in life, if we are feeling kind toward ourselves and others, if we are feeling peace, then we're kind of looking at this from essence. But the thing here, folks, is when we discover our truth, when we discover that, that peace and love and kindness and compassion and appreciation and in all of those beautiful positive emotions, when those things are present, we know that that's our truth, and we can tune into that every time. I was faced with a situation a couple of weeks ago that invited me into a major argument. And I'll have to be honest, I accepted the invitation for a few seconds, and I realized what was going on, and I stopped. I got silent. I tuned back into my truth, which was peace and love and compassion and empathy. And when I did that, it defused the whole situation. The argument stopped from everybody around, and we all were able to have a communication. When I asked myself, who am I in that situation, and I looked to truth, it shifted the whole situation. When we are around people who are negative all the time, if we cannot tune into our truth, it's going to drag us into the negative. If we're around people who are angry, or if we actually have hate towards the person that we're near, and we cannot turn to our truth, we're going to get drugged right into that. We're going to go deeper into the hatred and the anger. When our answers fluctuate depending on situations or people around us, we need to check in and consider again our answers. Our answer to the question, who am I, are deeply personal. They have nothing to do with the people around us. They have nothing to do with the situation around us. They have everything to do with our heart center. They are not, they are not fluctuating all the time as it seems. When we look to the situation first for our answer, we'll find hatred and darkness and anger and sadness and happiness and loving and so on and so forth. When we look to ourselves first, we find the love and the peace and the strength and the empowerment that is us. When you answer, who am I, from essence, when you look into your heart and your truth and your authenticity to find your answers, all answers will be similar to those that I already stated. They will all be empowering. The question, or more specifically, your answers to the question, are vital to your experience of life. Since the answers that you have to that one question, who am I, determine your experience of life, wouldn't it be awesome to turn to essence to find truth instead of ego and find limits? Your belief about who you are determines how you react or respond to everything. Your belief about you determines how you treat others as well as how you treat yourself. How likely are you to be kind to someone else or even to yourself if you are depressed or angry or sad or upset? That is a determining factor if you look to ego. How likely are you to take a chance on an opportunity that has popped up in your life if your answer about you, your belief about you, is inadequate or unworthy? Again, the illusion of ego, our false self, our fear, our trapped emotions, all create a very limiting picture of who we are. Those limits are illusions of fear. I encourage people now to see truth. And when you do, you'll realize that those are simply illusions. They do not come anywhere close to defining your truth. You can use those illusions as a call to action, but let them go once you do that. Let that call to action let you know something's going on. You need to tune back into your truth. Do not accept those things as your truth. Those dark and limiting messages are not something to ignore or hide from or be ashamed of. Your truth, your authenticity, is way more powerful and brilliant than those limits ever will be. Just be aware of the negative thinking and then look to your truth. When you have, when you get to essence, when you go beyond ego, you will find a stability and an understanding about you that will take you through any of life's situations, whether they be a stormy situation or a perfectly beautiful one. The answer to the extremely vital question, who am I, when answered from essence, will, when your truth is seen, will not fluctuate. The circumstances of your life may change, but your truth never does. Your truth is stable. Your truth is always. Your truth, your essence, remains the same in all situations and can provide you the strength, courage, inspiration to face all that life has to give. So I wanted to wrap up today with a quote from Ram Dass that I just think is beautiful for this show. And the quote is this: "There's much more in any given moment than we usually perceive, and we ourselves are much more than we usually perceive." When you know that, part of you can stand outside the drama of your life. Standing outside the drama of your life is standing within your truth. When we answer the question, "Who am I?" from essence, we remain true to ourselves in all situations. We do not have to fluctuate according to the world's circumstances. We stand true to ourselves. Thank you so much for listening today. I invite you to follow Life's Toolbox Facebook page, where you'll find daily affirmations and much more information about the show. Thank you to Brent Carey and Mark back in the studio with Empower Radio for providing us this beautiful opportunity to talk. Until next week and beyond, look into your truth and ask, "Who am I?" Receive the answers that will lift your life and stand true. Love and peace.